Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Turn to Speak with your host, Beth Miller. All points of view must be brought to light if we're to reach the wisest solutions to challenges we face. Guests on Your Turn to Speak have unusual insights to bring to the collective conversation. They have been invited because of the positive impact of their loving presence on Earth. Though their ideas may be hidden by the glare of the mainstream focus, their perspectives are guaranteed to inspire and enrich us all. And now, here's your host, Beth Miller.
Welcome to Your Turn to Speak. I'm your host, Beth Miller. We're broadcasting this show from the Finger Lakes region of New York, where finally it is most definitely spring. Temperatures are in the 70s on this May evening. The birds are fervently building their nests, and an intoxicating fragrance from the blossoming trees is wafting through the air. Frogs are back. The peepers are singing as the full moon will shortly be making an appearance. She is known as the flower moon or the corn planting moon, or some refer to her as the milk moon. Our guest tonight, Montanique Niffen, is a mirror of springtime, as you will come to see. So far on Your Turn to Speak, we have heard mostly from elders, wise ones, well-established in careers they spent years of their lives building. But tonight we will be hearing from a young woman who, at least in this lifetime, is at the threshold of her career as an energy healer and life coach, and who also has much to offer in the way of wisdom. I have had the privilege of getting to know her over the past few months since she began her practice at The Center, a wellness spa in Auburn, New York, where I work also. Listeners, I have to admit, when Montanique Niffen began hanging out at The Center in her stilettos and designer glasses, an uh-oh feeling came over me. I thought to myself, well, shift happens, and here it comes. Now, most of us who work at The Center, after all, are more like the Birkenstock types. Well, my intuition was right on. Shift is indeed happening, but in the most profoundly wonderful way. And believe it or not, I'm beginning to think Montanique may be right when she claims her high heels bring her closer to the angels. Montanique discerns correlations between predominant attitudes, mindsets, thoughts, and surroundings, and the role they play in the healing process. So in addition to her roles of life coach and energy healer, Montanique tidies things. And she puts up little signs all over the center. For example, be thankful. Gratitude means abundance. She does kind and considerate things for coworkers and offers sincere acknowledgments and appreciation for the work we do. She engenders a sense of team spirit among us, and she works very hard to cultivate beauty, order, and tranquility at the center, putting her heart into everything she does. She often stays late, organizing office systems so the days will run more smoothly for the clients and staff. And her many small, meaningful gestures have made a profound difference. Before she came to work at the center, Montanique worked in healthcare administration in the field of neurology. And in her previous employment, she was able to view firsthand the shift of Eastern medicine or Eastern philosophy into Western culture. So now, listeners, let's hear more from Montanique about her journey that has led her to become the person she is now. Montanique, it's your turn to speak.
Hi, Beth. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm so happy that you are on the show tonight so that we can let the world know some of the wonderful gifts you have to offer.
Well, and thank you so much. I'm honored to be here. You know, it's been such a pleasure to be part of your journey and also see you watch mine. So it's just wonderful things. They're always
great.
Happening.
Yes. Well, maybe we could begin. I might ask if you could tell us a little bit more about yourself. You know, I'm interested in discovering what your growing up years were like and what your early inspirations were.
Well, I grew up here in upstate New York. My mother originally came from Florida, one of seven children. And we've always lived here. And it was, you know, a good childhood. I was always a happy child. I've always had the glasses half full type of personality. So it made life enjoyable, and I still try to do that. I always try to find the positive in every situation. I guess just a typical childhood. You know, I was surrounded by nature, which I'm very blessed for, and surrounded by just wonderful people that have been a part of my journey and a part of my path and offered me unconditional love and guidance through the majority of it. So I've been very blessed with all of those aspects of life.
It makes such a difference to have that foundation surrounded with unconditional love, doesn't it? I mean, it really makes a huge difference in one's individuation process.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Especially when, you know, the unconditional love, there's not seeds of judgment in it. When the people that love you and just truly want you to be yourself, it's a refreshing quality. And to look back on it, I just, you know, I've had so many of those people in my life. And the people that I, you know, give thanks to every day, every night, that just really fostered the aspect in me of coming into my own and finding my own, and how through all of it they supported me. So I'm blessed and grateful.
Was there any particular early inspirations as far as, I don't know, books you've read or other than nature or any kind of particular person in your early childhood that might have really inspired you?
You know, I think that throughout my life and definitely at different times, there were three women that came into my life that were very pivotal and really had a profound effect on me and where I was going and the things that I stood for. One of them was my godmother, Annie Melnick, and she was a school teacher, and I got baptized later in life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I was about 12 years old, somewhere around there. And I remember when I met her when I was young, she just had this grace and elegance about her. And I just remember, you know, being a kid, and I was drawn to it. And just, you know, the beauty in all of it. And I think as the other women in my life, I've always been drawn to that kind of divine feminine form. And then later in life, one of my bosses was an attorney, Lisa Broccoletti. And she, you know, brought apart a different aspect. You know, she was an attorney, she was a mother, and, you know, still that just divine feminine form. And she had, you know, pivotal, you know, inspirations to give me, you know, about career and love and family. And then there's Marianne, who owns the center here. And I met her at a young age, and I remember meeting her. Even to this day, I remember meeting her. I remember being a child standing outside of church. And there, again, was that divine feminine form. And she was just so elegant and, you know, again, career-oriented. And she had opinions, and she, you know, wasn't afraid to speak them. And, you know, all three of them, if I look back, the one thing that they all have in common is a very grounded faith, and are just unconditionally loving. However, the one aspect about Marianne is that I remember as a child seeing her for the first time and meeting her, she was standing outside of Mass, and she had on, probably the first time I had ever seen them, point toe stilettos.
Yes.
And to this day, I remember her just standing there, and I remember her standing in these shoes. And I'm just this little girl, just in awe of, you know, just this fabulous woman standing in these shoes. And to this day, I have to laugh about it. Or maybe, you know, I should, you know, say that she's got to take some of that, you know.
It's funny because
her shoes were part of my process.
You know, it's funny. I think I have that a little bit in common with you, because I had an older sister when I was growing up, very, very young. My sister was about 20 years older than I was. Well, she still is.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a school teacher, but she was she lived on Long Island would come home for the summer vacations. And when she would come home, she would put in her closet box after box of these very high-heeled shoes. And I can remember sneaking into her closet and trying them on and kind of playing dress-up in these high heels. And you know how I wish that she would have saved them, because I would love to just look at them now. I would never wear them again now that I'm this age and of this particular point in my life. But I know that the sparkly feeling of seeing the big high heels and when you're little, and it is so impressive. That's
yeah.
Just something that adults do, you know, stylish ones do.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I was going to ask you a little bit more about your early religious and spiritual life. You mentioned that you were baptized at an older age, not as a little baby.
No. My mother was spiritual. However, we weren't affiliated with any sort of religion when I was younger. And then about 12 years old, she had joined the Roman Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, you know, we took the basic classes, you know, the catechism and school, and was baptized at 12. And it was actually the teacher that I had spoken of, Annie, that at that point she became my godmother. And it was, it was an interesting time. A lot of learning. I mean, everyone knows that I love to read, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, though, were there, you know, any that.
Were there any particular saints in the church, or religious leaders that you were kind of drawn to?
Well, I think a lot of people that know me know that I have a very deep love for St. Peter. Now even more, even being young, I was very drawn, but I didn't understand why.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went on to this, whole new quest, I remembered, it just came to me one day, learning a religious school, the scripture, I'm probably not going to get it right, but I'll try to recall it. Something about your name is Peter, and you are the rock, and on this rock I will build my church.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought me back to points, in childhood and even throughout life, where there were times that, or even times in darkness, or times that I felt that I needed strength. I always felt a higher power, or, I would say with St. Peter, surrounding me and helping me, and at times, holding me up. I talk to him so much, he's probably sick of hearing me call his name now.
I doubt that.
Well, I don't know. Now I'll just do it for, just any reason. I'm like, oh, St. Peter, I'm just exhausted. If you could just carry me for a couple hours.
Aww.
So, Saint Peter, I've always had a very, very strong connection to him. And also, Mary, the more of the divine feminine form. But they're probably the most, the two strongest, that I've had, and within my spiritual journey, I've started to learn more, and it's into all different religions, and found similarities. It's been a great journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, I share your leaning toward it. Mary, the mother of Jesus. I think that so many of the artistic imagery and of Mary seems to state image the deep longing that people have of just being so tenderly embraced and loved unconditionally. And I think that, the image of Mary and the meaning of her life can offer a tremendous comfort to people on a very deep level. So I kind of share your leaning towards Mary for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, as I said with those three women, one of those three women, the characteristics that they embodied, and one of them was unconditional love, and Mary is that as well. She's often one that I will call, if I'm ever having trouble, and just say, I just need to just feel your unconditional love right now. And she's always there. And it's a great feeling to know that you can call upon that unconditional love when you need it, and the fact that you can call upon it and feel it and you're given it.
Absolutely. Do you happen to have any, day-to-day spiritual practices? Or I was just wondering how you incorporate your current sense of spirituality into your day-to-day life.
Well, as you have seen me around here, around the center,
yes.
I tend to have two seeds. One is, rocket ship blasting off. And the next one I've learned later in life, which is just being completely sedentary. And I'm so thankful for that time, or you know, I'd probably fall over most of the time. But every day, you know, throughout the day, I'm always trying to connect with spirit. Meditation through this, you know, especially recently, has been a huge part of my journey. It is something that I wish I had more time. I remember going, you know, starting, you know, when I was starting this whole journey, and I would just set, you know, set my timer on. I had to set my timer on my phone, or I would just stay in meditation forever, and it was the most wonderful thing, just to be able to set the mind down and just allow, you know, spirit to come in and to be able to talk, because, you know, I mean, my mind's going a mile a minute all the time, so if I don't shut it down, you know, sometimes, you know, spirit really needs to get my attention.
Yeah.
So I try to incorporate meditation as often as I can, and, you know, I am given specific, I'm led specifically when it's time, you know, hey, Montanique, you really need to shut down and go into meditation for a little while. And I listen, you know, sometimes I say, I would really love to do that right now, but I need to get through this hour of paperwork. So if you could help me speed that up, I'll go into meditation in 10 minutes. So, but it's something that I try to incorporate, but you know, the connection to spirit is something that I connect to all the time throughout the day. But it is nice to have those times where you can just set an allotted amount of time down just to even just say, I'm here. You know, if nothing else, I'm just here to just thank you. And I'm going to set this time just for you, just to be here and to be grateful and to be present. And those are most certainly my favorite times of the day when I'm allowed to set that time aside and just devote it to spirit.
I've heard people say that when you rigorously clean a room or tidy a room, or sweep a room, or sweep the porch, or, you know, these sort of rituals of sweeping or cleaning or tidying, it kind of has a residual effect of not only just making things cleaner, but it also lifts the vibrational energy of a certain space. And I have to admit, I have witnessed firsthand how you have done that at the center with just your humble activities of, you know, tidying and cleaning and, you know, the times in between when you see clients, that you've done this with the center. And, you know, before you came, you know, people would come to the center and they would always compliment on how nice a space it was and how nice it smelled and the atmosphere was so nice. But you have really even taken it a full step further into the sense of when you walk in, you feel like, oh, I'm here, I can relax, you know, this can be some me time, and I can really kind of get in touch with my center at the center, you know. It's really a profound difference, I think, and I never would have suspected before you came that the center would have even needed such, you know, an influence. But I can really, really see and sense a kind of a fresh air, like a fresh air of, you know, springtime in the center these days with, you know, your little touches of beauty. And I have to say, I just want to mention this, how the other day when I was at work, and as you know, Saturdays can be busy, and there often isn't time to get coverage at the desk, so quite often I have to eat at the desk during the day if I can get some lunch in. And you offered to make me a salad. And, well, I thought, well, that would be very nice, you know. Well, when you presented me this with the salad, I just want to let our listeners know what it looked like. I mean, it was on a beautiful glass plate, and it had a beautiful bed of, I believe it was spinach leaves, fresh, raw spinach leaves. And then as kind of like petals to a flower, you had cut orange bell pepper in that made it look like a flower, and you put chunks of watermelon on it and sprinkled it with pumpkin seeds. It was gorgeous. And as I ate these colors and these flavors, I just felt so deeply nourished. Knowing that the food was so healthy and so lovingly prepared, it really, you know, it seemed like maybe a small gesture to you, but I can't tell you how much that meant to me. It was just one of the best salads I've ever had.
I'm very glad that you enjoyed it.
Well, I certainly did.
I have to admit, I definitely just asked. I am, you know, one of the people that, I don't think everybody has that nowadays, but I'm one of six children.
Mm.
There's three boys and three girls. And we were blessed to, my mother was a stay-at-home mom.
Mm.
And, you know, you don't hear of that, you know, a lot now. Especially you don't hear a lot of, you know, people having six children.
I know.
But she, in everything that she did, you know, for us always, it was always, you know, surrounded with love. And that was, you know, something that I was taught, you know, from a very young age. I mean, some of my, you know, best memories, you know, regardless if I was young or even, you know, just this past Thanksgiving, are of spending time with my mother in the kitchen and cooking with her and watching her cook and how she is to, you know, feed her children, and she loves us through that.
Isn't
so
that great?
I'm grateful to her for that. So it's, you know, it's been it's something that's kind of second nature now. I guess you recognize it when other people do it for you. I mean, when my mom does it for me, it's just the greatest thing in the whole world.
Yes.
But thank you. Yes, I actually, I was spending that day with my mother for Mother's Day. So I figured, I'm making salads anyways. I'll make some extras and spread the love, spread the joy.
Well, it certainly really had an impact on me. And here again, we might just talk a little bit about putting loving energy into things, which in a way is what energy medicine is about, I believe. And I was just going to ask you, how did you begin to awaken to your interest in energy medicine?
Well, my teacher and the owner of the center again, Marianne Giacona, I've known her since I was a little girl, and I, you know, watched as she went into the field of energy medicine and healing and started working with her about 15 years ago.
Mm.
And at first, you know, it was something that my mother had, you know, suggested, you know, that I do. And as you see my personality, I tend to just, you know, jump right in, head first. figure out the rest later. So I, you know, went, you know, with my first session with Marianne, and I actually, you know, remember a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had, you know, conversations, and it was something that just always came very natural. I didn't understand why, but it was just kind of part of my soul or who I was, or I would do things or experience things, and it was something that within me I knew, but I did not know how or why or where.
Mm-hmm.
And even our conversations, you know, 15 years ago, we would joke. She may have been serious at that time, but I think there was a part of me that was joking around that said, we'll work together one day.
Wow.
And lo and behold, here I am working for her. It's so funny how things like that, you know, come full circle. But, you know, she was a great teacher and patient. And just it's just been just lovely.
Great.
It just has been.
I was wondering, because a lot of people who may be listening still might not quite understand what energy medicine really is. And I wonder if you might be able to explain a little bit about what energy medicine means.
Absolutely. Where do I begin? There's so many different facets to it. I guess the simplest way, the easiest way, would be to say it combines Western and Eastern. If you look at even in high school, the basic physics class, and everything, you know, matter has a vibration or an energy frequency. And that is what we use, you know, when we practice. But there's more aspects to it. There, you know, certain Eastern parts, such as acupressure points or the meridians, which are used in acupressure or acupuncture, that those are all incorporated with, you know, some of the Eastern Ayurvedic traditions of chakras. However, there's, in addition to that, a component of spirituality. But keep in mind, when I say spirituality, it is not a religious denomination. It is this unconditional and powerful connection that surrounds us and is within us of wisdom. And, you know, you can see that one of the great examples I've heard is if you cut your finger, you don't have to tell your finger to heal.
Right.
It's force within the body that will take care of that. So when you practice energy medicine, it's the parts of combining body, mind, spirit, emotions. Recently, I had a client who is pregnant. She was suffering from headaches. So during pregnancy, she did not want to, you know, take a lot of medications because of the contraindications. There's certain oils that she couldn't use because of the pregnancy. And one would think headaches, you would immediately go to work on the head because that's where the pain is. However, when I scanned and assessed her body, I was immediately drawn to the lower back. And I knew that there was some sort of, you know, I could feel within her field that there was some sort of block there, that this was the cause of where she was getting the headaches. So I just worked with the energy that was right there, and I actually just found out today she hasn't had a headache since. But, I mean, it's so wonderful, especially, you know, with a woman that's pregnant. And, you know, because, you know, pregnancy is supposed to be a happy, joyous time. So, you know, to be able to offer those things it's humbling. It's an honor. And it's a great joy.
Oh, it really is. Great. So not only does it really involve a certain intelligence, but it also makes a use of the intuitive wisdom of the healer, the intuition that kind of can sense
yes,
in someone's
absolutely.
Energy field that this might be a place where there's some blockage.
Absolutely, yes. And it's not always where you specifically think that you're going to go. The headache is the perfect example, and I was drawn to the lumbar sacral spine. And it's a connection to that universal force, the universal wisdom or spirit, and that will lead you there. So you listen to that intuition and you listen to the information that you're giving me, you feel it within the energy field or see it within the energy field and work with that energy to clear the block. And, you know, it can be from a gamut of different things. You know, people don't always come into, you know, for energy medicine for, like, pain or headaches. It can be, emotional aspects
mm-hmm.
or feelings of disconnect, because when there's not the, you know, the proper alignment and flow through the body, it
mm-hmm.
will affect other areas of the body as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to work within all of the components to try to build, you know, balance within mind, body, spirit, emotions as a whole.
Mm-hmm. I notice sometimes, of course, working at the center that different practitioners use different tools or different instruments to help the healing process. For example, certain drums might be one, or certain whistles or other sound kind of things, tuning forks or other kinds of oils or many
yes,
different
absolutely.
Types of, you know, what I particularly am drawn to personally is the healing effects of color. Of course, each color has its own vibration, and it's, you know, for thousands of years, people have associated color with mood, the mood of one, and I'm very impressed with color, but I was wondering if you could explain if you use any particular tools that help you facilitate healing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you just put it on. One of the main ones that I do use is color. And,
really?
You know, even if one looks at the, you know, the chakra, you know, energy center is related to different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I've always used. Recently I was working with a client, and she was having an issue, second chakra, reproductive area.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told to that she needed a D note. And after, I actually looked down at the whistle that I was using and noticed that it was orange, which orange correlates with the second chakra.
Right,
so once
right.
again, it's that intuition of being spirit-led to go someplace and, you know, to make the noise that she needed to clear that area that we were clearing. And mm-hmm. it was an affirmation to me, since we were working within the second chakra and the orange. So, you know, you're given those gifts when you listen to intuition. It's, you know,
yeah.
just when you don't, that you're in trouble.
Now,
so,
essential
oils, I use those as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're for a gamut of different things. You know, if you know, basil. I was working with someone the other day, and, you know, basil. It brings that, you know, that sense of sweetness, that sense of joy, that uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
So all of them are incorporating all of them and learning more as I go within this process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to continue the whole educational process.
Yes.
'Cause at some point you think that you're done, but then you realize, oh no, you have a lot more.
Oh, absolutely. It's all ongoing. The more
absolutely.
We live, the more we realize how much more we need to learn.
Yes. But it's refreshing. Way. It's refreshing, you know. It stimulates the brain.
Keep things interesting, that's for sure.
Yes, it does.
Well, I'm curious a little bit to learn more about your relationship with your teacher, Marianne, how she happened to help impart some of this knowledge for you. And I know that you went through kind of a little bit of an apprenticeship, and I wondered if you could talk a little bit about that.
Okay. So as I said, I've known Marianne since I was little, and it was fabulous point post stilettos. And just, you know, built a relationship and a friendship with her. And then it came to a point where you saw the shift happen.
Yes.
And I, you know, sat and actually the office, her office, her energy office, where I'm sitting right now. I just remember looking at her and saying, I don't know where to go. I don't know where I am supposed to be or what I'm truly going to find fulfilling out of a career. And I'm finally open to any place. I applied for jobs all over the United States. I actually think that I applied for jobs out of the United States. I applied to so many jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then turned to Spirit and said, tell me what you want of me.
Yeah.
Where am I? What is my calling? If you show me, I will go there. I don't care if it's in, you know, Alaska and there's 15 other people in the town, or if you want me in a city or anywhere, I will go. But mm-hmm. I need, you know, I'm asking for this change in my life, this change as far as a career that fulfills me.
Yes.
And I came in for a session, and after the session, yeah, Spirit just said, okay, you asked for it. Here you go.
Oh, wow.
So Spirit said that, you know, I was going to stay right here at the Center for Wellness in Auburn, New York. And here I remain. But,
thank God.
Well, yes, and that's what I say, too.
Oh.
It was wonderful. My apprenticeship was, I was able to work either remote sessions or physical sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, had Marianne would work with me, and I would I felt like I was sitting at my laptop all the time, but I loved it because I just typed everything. Everything that happened in a session, I just would type it out and just give her reports with diagrams. And she would sit with me and go over all of the information. But for anybody that knows Marianne as you do, it was always done in such a loving, gentle way. She never said, maybe this should have been done. Instead, she took the information and
from the information that I had received, taught me and gave me more knowledge on the subject matter. Where Spirit was leading me, you know, with one client over specifically the area of the pancreas and the gallbladder. And although I could see possibly why I was there, I couldn't put the correlation together of why the balance of the two. So then she would come in and would explain to me the how the pancreas is sweet and the gallbladder is bitter, and how what I was doing was the balancing of the two, so the balancing of the body, of those two specific organs. And, you know, still continuously, daily, she will, you know, she just, there's a lesson in everything as long as you're open to hearing it.
That's right. That's right.
And go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful way of learning. And, you know, it's the idea that, too, you're kind of not only guided by your own intuition, but you're also guided step by step with Marianne for the time being, and as your footing becomes firmer and as you learn more about some of the intricacies of how the body, the inner parts of the body relate with each other. And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
What an opportunity, Montanique.
Oh, it was fabulous. It still is fabulous. It was, the majority of the questions that I would have for her were, I understood the intuition, I understood the guidance that I was given and you know, how to do the work just from the guidance that I was given during the session. But where I lacked was I didn't understand what it meant. So she took the time to explain it to me. And it was, you know, I can't thank her. I can't thank her enough.
Wow.
Because I had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I mean, you know my personality. I had a lot of questions.
That's okay. That's how we learn.
Yeah.
I think that one of the best qualities of an intelligent mind is curiosity. With curiosity, one can go so far in the learning process. You know, curiosity is so important. So I'm glad
absolutely.
You have a lot of questions, Montanique.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we'll see what you think about that on Saturday. No.
Uh-oh. What's in store? Oh, dear. Shift happened. Here it goes again. So, anyway, I know that before you came to the center, you were involved with healthcare administration. And I was wondering if you wanted to just suggest how perhaps that experience even led you to be competent as an energy healer. How was that a solid stepping stone as to what you're doing now?
I think the key aspect, you know, once I reflect on it, would be everything that surrounds a person. Or is within, you know, regardless, you know, their beliefs, their mindset, their, you know, their surroundings, you know, where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And how you could, you know, working in neurology, you know, the physician could see, you know, same, different patients, but same condition. And how it would have a completely different effect on one than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it I was able to, you know, just from speaking with people, see a lot about their how they felt or what surrounded them or, you know, if they had suffered for something, if there was a positive attitude towards it or if there was a, well, you know, this is just, you know, this is going to be how it is. And, you know, in some cases even gave up the fight.
Yeah.
So I just noticed through time how many people that always maintained a more positive attitude, how it was their, you know, everything that happened with them, it was just different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was one not the same as the other, and it really became, you know, very shocking to see after some time how,
yes.
You know, they say thoughts become things or,
yes.
You know, what you ask for is what you get.
Yeah.
So how the entire being positive or having an uplifted spirit or an uplifted personality, how it may not diminish, you know, if you're diagnosed with something that will never go away, may not take it away, but totality of everything as a whole is, from the outside looking in, looks completely different, just based on the mindset or the belief. So
yes.
It was remarkable to see in people.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a good opportunity to witness the power of thinking over the healing in the healing process.
Absolutely.
In your neurology
yeah.
background. Just to shift gears a little bit, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about your understanding of or belief in, if that's the case, of reincarnation and to what extent you think our past lives may have an influence over our current incarnation.
Oh, reincarnation. This is a good one.
How seriously do you think we should take this? You know, I mean, is it relevant to our current life?
You know, I don't know if I read or if I listened to a program once, and it resonated very well with me. I believe that it was Carolyn Mice, but I could be wrong. And I'm positive that I won't say it as eloquently as whoever said it was. But it went along the lines of when we incarnate, what we are doing is trying to expose a part of the soul to light that may have been in darkness. Or I mean, I don't mean darkness in a negative or evil,
mm-hmm.
you know, way.
Right.
But a
right.
part of the soul that needs to be shown the light or healed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even within my own personal experience and experience working with clients, I could, you know, easily see the correlation, you know, even myself doing past life regression work. For example, I had done past life regression work once that had dealt with an abandonment issue.
Mm.
And it was funny because as an adult woman, I really had a lot of these abandonment issues, but had no idea really where they stemmed from or where they came from. And going through that past life regression work, I was actually able to, you know, bring that up and expose it and show it and heal that part of me that needed to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny to kind of watch those issues, you know, that were kind of ingrained, just a part of me, just kind of dissipate once I had, you know, come to, you know, to terms with that part of me that, you know, as the program had said, to see the light.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there,
you know, I think it's a very integral part of healing if somebody is open to doing that kind of work. But I also think that they need to be something that, as I said, healed and not, like I've been told, you know, heal the emotion, don't hold on to the story. You know, because the stories are what's fascinating.
Yeah.
But you know, that's not why the work is done. You're bringing up some sort of emotion or fear, or you know, to really be able to sit and work through it. So I think that those aspects that allow you to clear things and become more in tune with yourself, I think that they're very important aspects. As I said, if you're willing to do that, you know, that work.
Yes.
Because
now,
if you're showing something the light, it's work.
Yes.
You know, you don't do past life regressions to skip through fields.
Yes.
It's usually work.
Yes. Now, is that something that you facilitate in your energy medicine practice, or no?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And really, it's, as I said before, even with me, it's getting a lot to the emotion.
Yes.
People will find that emotion is stored and even maybe a part of their, you know, current, you know, situation or current relationships, and you know, as such as you know, the abandonment. It was a huge part of a lot of the relationships that I had in my life, and once I was able to heal that, or see that and face it, as I said, dissipated. So it's an amazing process to be able to be a part of and watch clients, heal those parts that need to be healed. It's their work.
Yes.
You know, so.
Montanique, I can hardly believe it, but we are almost to almost to 7 o'clock here, and I just wanted to ask you a couple more questions, but I don't know if I'm even going to have time. But the one question I was going to ask you, if there is someone listening out there who may not have a lot of faith or a spiritual path that they're particularly attached to, is there something helpful you would like to say to them? And kind of not turn them off to the potential benefit of energy medicine?
You know, I think the one thing that I have learned that I think is the most important with the work is it's not attached to a religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest part of it is love.
Yes.
And, you know, they say that through love, healing occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, as a practitioner, it's humbling to be able to watch that with somebody that I'm working with. And, you know, if they're scared of that, you know, that religious piece, that's what I would say it is. It is love.
Montanique, before we conclude, I'd like the listeners to know how they can contact you. So if we could give the center's website, that would be a first step for them to be able to get in touch with you. So the center's website is www.thecenter4wellness.com. And if you have an interest in getting in touch with Montanique, please contact the center. And I think this is our concluding remark, Montanique, and I want to thank you so much for the openness and generosity of spirit you have shared with our listeners tonight.
Thank you so much, Beth. It was just an honor.
Well, we'll see you Saturday.
All right.
Bye now.
I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Bye now.
Bye.
We are all one planet, all one people of Earth, all one planet.
You have been listening to Your Turn to Speak with host Beth Miller. Each week, Beth features guests whose important views are often overlooked in the mainstream dialogue. You can listen to this show again at freespiritbroadcasting.com. And be sure to tune in next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for another live, inspiring conversation on Your Turn to Speak.